And now let's turn to international news for a few minutes. And our colleagues at the BBC in London this morning, we're joined by Rich Preston. Rich, good morning.
Good morning to you, Lauren.
Okay, so we're starting in Japan as they have now elected a new prime minister this week. Give us the latest.
Yeah, Fumio Kishida is the man, and sworn in today, formally elected by lawmakers in Tokyo. He was appointed leader of the Liberal Democratic Party last week. So today was really a formality because they have nearly a two-thirds majority in Japan's parliament. But nonetheless, he passed the test. Now, the whole thing really came out nowhere because the current prime minister, Yoshihide Suga, has only been in office for a year, but he handed his resignation in at the beginning of last month because his poll ratings have plummeted, especially to do with COVID and his handling of the pandemic, and in particular when Japan decided to go ahead and hold the Tokyo Olympics. Now, cases started to rise before the games had even started. They had to implement a state of emergency in and around Tokyo, and it really didn't do well for Yoshihide Suga, and there was a concern that his popularity was going to transfer onto the governing Liberal Democratic Party. And the reason that was such a problem, Lauren, is because there is a general election next year. And so he decided the right thing to do was to resign, hence this leadership contest. Fumio Kishida is relatively well respected, well trusted. He's a former foreign minister. His father and grandfather were both politicians as well. And the thing he really has to get a hold of is that popularity rating and win back support of the Japanese public. Now, this election was due next year, but actually, he said it's going to be held on October 31st. He really wants to get voters out to the ballot box and get their support so that he can have a new mandate to govern. Top of his list is dealing with COVID and coming up with a plan to get out of the pandemic. He says he'll increase hospital capabilities, come up with a stronger vaccination policy and a testing policy. Related to COVID, of course, is the economy. Japan is the world's third largest economy. He wants to keep it that way. Life expectancy in the country is average of 81 years, but that's a lot of older people to care for. So prioritizing social spending, looking at taxation is a big part of that brief. He's already said today he wants to address income inequality and look at income tax. Then on the international front, he needs to address two key issues, Lauren, North Korea and China. Now, he said he would meet the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un without any preconditions. We're waiting to see if Pyongyang comes back on that one. And Mr. Kishida has said there are questionable issues in China when it comes to human rights. But he did add that it's Japan's largest trading partner. Now, Japan works with US President Biden's Quad group. It met recently. It includes Australia and India as well. It's officially about working together on things like climate change, trade, and COVID, but China really is at the heart of it. Mr. Kishida says the Japan-US alliance is the foundation of Japan's foreign policy. And President Biden earlier on said the US-Japan alliance is the cornerstone of peace, security, and prosperity in the region.
Okay, and now we're going to take a sharp turn here to talk about a Russian spaceship that blasts off with a film crew on board to make the first movie that will be shot actually in space. What's happening here, Rich?
Yeah, this is absolutely fascinating. Now, this has been on the cards for some months. The movie is called The Challenge. Russia is going to be filming parts of the movie on the International Space Station. The film tells the story of a female doctor and her mission to perform surgery on a cosmonaut who is too ill to return to Earth. Yulia Perisild is the Russian actress involved. She's top star over there. And the director is a guy called Klim Shipenko. He's actually the man behind Russia's highest grossing movie of all time. They are taking off tomorrow with doubles just in case, and they are spending 10 days in the Russian section of the International Space Station filming their scenes. They've gone through health checks, extensive medical tests, training, including training in zero gravity. Now, the interesting thing is how this came about, because last year NASA announced plans to film a movie in space featuring Tom Cruise in a partnership with Elon Musk's SpaceX.
Yes.
A few days after that, the Russian space agency said it was going to film a movie in space. So, bit of a cinematic space race there. And unfortunately for you guys in the US, much like with the first satellite, the first dog, the first man, and the first woman, Russia is beating you to it. If you are interested, Russia's Channel 1 will be broadcasting the launch live tomorrow, and it will be streamed online as well.
But no Tom Cruise.
No Tom Cruise.
All right, and finally, Rich, it is Nobel Prize Week this week. Which awards are being given out, and any ideas on who might be the winner?
Well, physics is tomorrow, chemistry is Wednesday, Thursday is literature, and the Peace Prize, often, you know, the highest regarded one, is on Friday. The winners get their certificate, a medal, prize money, which is the equivalent of just over $1 million. Mm. Now, the Nobel Committee doesn't release the names of who's been nominated until 50 years have passed, so we don't actually know. All we can do is speculate, and each year different panels get together from different specialities to discuss who they think will win the prize in their field. Physicists reckon that the prize might go to researchers who've worked on quantum computing, on metamaterials, which is changing metals at an atomic level. And my favorite is a scientist who has slowed light to 40 miles an hour. Did that by using freezing and dense gases. Very cool, literally. chemistry, we're looking at sequencing genomes, antioxidants, human health, their areas of interest. The Peace Prize, as we were saying, the big one. Now, there are 329 nominations this year.
Wow.
As I said, we don't know who has been nominated. We have to wait to Friday to find out. Last year, the World Food Programme won it. Of course, Barack Obama won it previously, yeah. Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, all previous winners. This year, odds are in favor for the World Health Organization, but that is another UN body, much like the World Food Programme, who won it last year. So are we going to see a similar award? Perhaps not. Reporters Without Borders is tipped to win it as well. Alexei Navalny, the Russian opposition leader, his name is in the running. Mm. And Greta Thunberg as well, the Swedish climate activist.
Of course,
we
yeah.
will find out on Friday.
The BBC's Rich Preston joining us from London. Thanks as always, Rich.
Thanks, Lauren.